This is about local call, local switch, as we have implemented it in OsmoCon. Some of you have been present at Osmo DevCon this year, where I also presented this. The presentation is rather similar, so if you're bored by the topic by now, feel free to leave the room. There's still some cake to be had in the room next door. The big difference compared to Osmo DevCon in April and OsmoCon in October is that it was theory back then and now it's implemented. So, yeah, the difference between theory and reality. yeah, I didn't really redo the slides because, well, we implemented like it's specified. So, yeah. The classic GSM user plane, if you look at it, all the interfaces were E1 or T1 based time division multiplex links, which meant that the signaling went exactly the same physical line and path through your network than the media plane. And you had voice circuits between two phones in the same BTS in that case. Actually, the audio goes from the BTS to the BSC over ABIS using so-called TRAU frames, transcoder and rate adaption unit frames, in 16 kilobit subslots of 64 kilobit slots. To the BSC, where then next to the BSC, there's the so-called co-located transcoder and rate adaption unit. And then it goes from the BSC to the MSC over the A interface, where typically it's a G711, so it's transcoded at the next to the BSC, and then it's a G711 call. And then the MSC says, oh, you know, the other leg of the call, and does the inverse, so you basically go back the entire. So you transcode twice, and you go with the audio all the way from the edge into the core, and from the core back to the edge, even though the two people having a phone call are in the same village or town or room or whatever. And that's, of course, far from optimal, for sure. The problems with that approach is, well, it works well with how GSM is specified, which is over a low latency landline-based wired TDM network, where you don't really have any buffers or latencies or satellite links or packet switching or anything like that. It doesn't work well with remote sites connected over VSAT. Well, I'm sure Rock will tell you something else because the entire network is operated that way. But if you're on board of a vessel, you really don't have any other options so much. If at least, I mean, on a vessel, maybe you don't have so many local calls among people, at least I expect. In rural deployments, of course, you have. I mean, for sure, not between the neighboring two buildings, but somebody's on the field, somebody's in the house, or is in the valley or on top of the hill, in case of Anthony's story yesterday. And in such cases, of course, you don't want to have the audio to go back all the way in the core network and go back again. You have poor service due to all the latency in there, and you have lots of cost due to getting the traffic across both ways. And there have been various vendors that implement proprietary systems for that, which of course conveniently create vendor lock-in, and at some point they got together. I don't know the exact development history here, but typically this goes the way that some strong or powerful operator says, no, I don't want your proprietary stuff. You get your heads together and you define something in the 3PPP specs, and then they can mix and match equipment again. So we have something called 3GPP LCLS, which is called local call, local switch. And it solves the problem, actually many different such types of problems all across the entire network in an interoperable fashion. The part where we are talking about now in terms of LCLS is the part that relates to the A and the ABIS interface, because that's where our backhaul is. But actually, the LCLS specs cover even more. They cover also the signaling between MSCs and the signaling if you have a SIP between different networks. So don't think of this just of two subscribers in one BTS, but 3GPP LCLS also solves the problem if you have let's say an inbound roaming subscriber and a home subscriber, and or you have RAN sharing with multiple operators, and there's actually multiple different operator core networks involved. So that's all also covered in there, which we all don't implement because we don't implement those interfaces. But in the sense of solving the ABIS or the A backhaul looping, basically we first need to enable the BSC to be aware that two calls belong to each other, because if you have a subscriber A calling a subscriber B at the same BTS, then neither the BTS nor the BSC have any knowledge that those two calls, the MO call and the incoming MT call, have any relation to each other. Those are two completely separate calls, and there is no identifier or nothing that really ties them together and would tell the RAN that those are part of the same call. So if you want to do that without explicit signaling, like it's solved in LCLS, you would actually have to correlate the voice channels in the user plane in order to figure out, first decode it and correlate and see, this is really the same call, and now I can locally switch it. So in absence of wanting to do that and spending all these CPU cycles on it, having explicit signaling is really the way to go. So we have to introduce something called a global call reference on the A interface. And the global call reference now is, the name indicates, a globally unique reference for a given call. And so if the subscriber A establishes a call, the MSC, in this case the OMSC, the originating MSC, will allocate a new global call reference, and it will pass that along with any of the signaling that happens further on, such as then the resulting MT call to the B subscriber back. And then the BSC can recognize, there is one call with reference 23 going out, and there's another call coming in with reference 23. So those two are actually the same, the two legs of the same call, and it can introduce the short circuit of the local switch, the so-called. And that's basically in this diagram. You see the red is the signaling, and the blue dashed line is the old style of the user plane, how it goes all the way here, even already with media gateways and so on, not even speaking about E1. And the strong blue line here, the immediate short circuit, is the locally switched user plane as a result. Now, of course, things are not that simple. That's really just the management overview on how you de-aggregate and reintegrate LCLS. So what kind of problems do we have? We have the earlier media plane and alerting phase. What does that mean? It means that when subscriber A calls subscriber B, at some point he will hear a ringtone, as in that the other side is ringing, and that's normally generated from the core network and not locally by the B subscriber, who is not even ringing. So at least initially there needs to be some kind of audio path from the core to the subscriber, to the A subscriber, rather than a local switch. Also, there are playbacks of voice announcements, such as your prepaid account is low, or your whatever. I think there are also some operators who actually play advertisements while you're dialing a call. I mean, all kinds of important problems to solve. There's also the extremely important problem of lawful interception. Because if the call is locally switched, how can you in the core still tap the voice like it's legally required in virtually any country of the planet, on the planet? And then also you have handover implications of all the different handovers. So what happens to the voice plane in case of intra-BSC handover, inter-BSC, inter-MSC, inter-RAT, whatever handovers. The problem is solved by having sort of a, let's call it a multiplex. It's not an Osmocom multiplex. For the voice plane, and basically here we have all the different network elements again. So originating BSS, terminating BSS, is OBSS, TBSS, and then we have different MSC servers here and different media gateways that are controlled by these MSC servers. And here in the OBSS or TBSS, we have these sort of multiplex that can not only do a local switch, but it can also do things which are called bcasting or bicasting, whatever you would pronounce it. So you basically copy every voice frame and you do a local switch, but you can also send a copy back to the core network, making the lawful interception guys happy. Or also do the inverse, so that you basically you receive voice from the core, but you also can have a locally switched voice. And the spec goes as far as there could be media gateways that then sort of decode like the audio into PCM frames, do sort of an analog addition of the two signals, and then re-encode them again, so you can mix voice that's coming or audio that's coming from the core network with the locally switched one. But you don't have to implement all of it. I'm just saying that's as far as the specs go. And also, how do you solve to get back to the early media? You don't automatically enable LCLS. So just because there's a global call reference and it comes back, the BSC doesn't automatically establish this local switch, but rather you make it more explicit. So the MSC can control whether or not the local switch is on or whether there is permission to activate the local switch, which means that initially when you establish your call, everything works like normal, and the voice can very well go back to the core network. But then at some point, the MSC or any of the MSCs involved can basically determine, well, now is the time at which a local switch, if possible technically, could be activated. And then the signaling goes to the BSC, and then the local switch is established in the BSC. Let's look at the different models. This is after alerting the backward through connection. So what are they doing actually here? The green is the control plane. The dotted part here is the normal voice plane if LCLS was not active. And then we have the user plane link, which transmits user plane data in the backward direction from the core network towards the UE. And that's basically the early media phase. And then later on, when we move to the next slide, we see this red short circuit here. And that's basically after LCLS has been activated. So the original path all the way here is no longer active, but only the local short circuit in the BSS has been activated. And the same is with tone and announcements and so on. Yeah, this is a convoluted diagram. We need to study that more in detail, but at least the 3GPP has started to use colors in diagrams in, I don't know when it was specified, but rather recently, which is good. I'm not going to go into all the details now, but fundamentally it works the same way. You can basically control whether or not voice comes from the core or goes to the core or it's locally switched or both of that. And how does that negotiation work? Every entity can basically, well, the MSC can state what's permitted, and the BSC and all the elements included can basically say, well, I support LCLS to that or that extent. And then there's all kinds of different states in which the LCLS can be, and only if everything is green, then finally LCLS is enabled. So there's elements called the negotiation request, negotiation response, and configuration preference information elements that have been added on the negotiation between the MSCs in the core network, which is not really what we're covering here. But in the end, as a result of the negotiation, we get results. And it can be a classic non-LCLS call. It can be called basic LCLS, that's the short circuit in the BSS. Then can be short circuit in the BSS and bycast the uplink, only the uplink direction to the core, or it can be the other way, basically, which is a local short circuit and get also audio in the downlink from the core network. And then there's different versions of that where, as said, the BSS may combine or replace the downlink data and so on. So on the A interface, what do we have now? The assignment request and assignment complete messages have been extended with new information elements. One is the global call reference that I explained initially, and the other one is an LCLS configuration information element. So when the BSC says, when the MSC says, or instructs the BSS to assign a radio channel, it also specifies what kind of LCLS permission is granted at this initial assignment. And then as a result of that configuration, which may be, you know, whatever, dual local switch or whatever in, configuration, and the capabilities of the BSS, because maybe the BTS might not be capable to do so, or the BSC might not be capable, or in this particular combination of two BTSs and the BSC, it might not be available. As a result, there is a BSS status information element that's returned once the assignment complete message is sent in return. And that then tells the MSC what's the status of the LCLS. And during handover, it's basically the same. When a handover complete BSS map message is sent from the BSS to the MSC, it says, well, there is the LCLS status has changed or is stays the same or whatever. And at any other time during the ongoing call, the BSS can notify the MSS that there is a change in the LCLS status. So for example, there's an intra-BSC handover between two BTSs and the target BTS doesn't do LCLS for whatever reason. Then the BSS can inform the MSS, LCLS is gone now. So all the audio goes back through the traditional path to the core network. And the other direction, there is an LCLS connect control from the MSS to the BSS. So at any point in time, if some entity in the core network is of the opinion that LCLS is to be terminated or enabled or whatever changed, then it can do so by sending this LCLS connect control message to the BSS. What we do have in OsmoCom now is a minimal subset without bycasting. That basically means we only do either local or remote, but we don't do any of these intermediate stages, which are, I think, more esoteric optimization cases than really needed. The big change comes with this, and we have implemented that in Osmo BSC, which means we had to add all these information elements to the messages, and as a result. And of course, all the logic to determine if all the components and all the state and the codecs and everything agree so that we can do a local switch. And if the local switch is actually enabled, then we instruct the media gateway using MGCP to change the RTP path. So as that's just following up to what Philip has presented on. So basically then at some point, the BSC will tell the BSC co-located media gateway will send the audio directly between those two BTSs or between those two calls on one BTS rather than sending it further up to the MSC. In Osmo MSC itself, it's not implemented yet because the requirement was primarily in context of other MSCs. However, a minimal implementation would be rather simple because all we have to do is we have to generate a global call reference and send it in all these messages. So allocate some unique number, put it somewhere. And the second step is basically always give LCLS permission or never give LCLS permission. I mean, that would be two very easy steps. And then the BSS could basically perform local call, local switch at its discretion. We do have tests for this in the BSC tests test suite in TTCN3. So we do automatically and continuously test the LCLS capabilities, but you cannot operate it with Osmo MSC at that point. But yeah, as I said, it should be rather easy to add that. The restrictions that we have in the current implementation, the audio looping is done in the BSC co-located media gateway. What does that mean? Well, it means we don't put the audio over the A interface back into the MSC, but we still pull the audio from a BTS into the media gateway that's next to the BSC, and then we go back from the media gateway to the BTS. So if you have a high latency and or unreliable and or bandwidth limited link on the ABIS side, then you're still sort of affecting the voice, even in the case where there is both the A and the B subscriber in the same BTS, or let's say even if you have multiple BTSs that have some kind of mesh or switch or whatever, a switched network between them, basically all the audio goes to the one location where the BSC is rather than going directly from BTS A to BTS B. that is sufficient for deployments which have the BSC rather local and you have an A backhaul, like Anthony has illustrated what he's doing yesterday. But it doesn't help you if you want to have sort of a more centralized BSC and an ABIS type backhaul to, or at least an ABIS link that's unreliable. So what would be needed is a true RTP loopback between the BTSs involved, and that's also rather easy to do, because instead of telling the media gateway to connect those two legs of, or those two calls together, we can directly on ABIS instruct the BTSs to send the RTP streams to each other, and then short circuit directly between the BTSs rather than short circuiting in the media gateway. There is a ticket open for that. I think Max is going to work on that basically immediately now, so that should be implemented rather soon. Then we also have that scenario involved. And if there are more requirements like these bcasting or whatever, we can of course always add to what's in the code at this point. And that brings me to the end, I think, ahead of schedule, if I see that correctly. But maybe there are some people who are still awake and have questions.
Could somebody describe slide 8 in his own words once again, please?
Slide 8. That one, yeah.
No, I'm sorry, I was sleeping for most of it, so I'm going to talk about the end.
No, I mean, let me try that. You know, some hot water is coming on the left upper corner, and it mixes with cold water from the... And then there's a gas pipe, that's the yellow. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, wait. I need to remember now. About this BTS loopback. So direct sending between BTS. Actually, then you need to care that there's no transcoding in between. So only in some cases you can do that. Or?
Well, that's what we do already right now, even with the media gateway, since our media gateway doesn't do transcoding, right? So the decision making algorithm whether or not to enable LCLS. So basically, first we have to determine if the policy permits it. And once the policy permits it, we need to jump through all the hoops and determine if the codec of both of the calls is the same, and all kinds of checks, and only at the end, if all of them are true, then we can enable it. And given that the conditions are the same, whether we loop the RTP in the media gateway or we loop it on the ABIS side, there's no change there.
Yeah, but at some point, I guess, we are going to re-add support for transcoding. So at that point, then, I guess, we need to check that, right?
Yeah, then
so
you have one if condition more. Yeah, okay. Like, if the codec is the same, you can do it on the VTS. Okay. And if not, you have to still pull it through the media gateway.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So two questions. Let's see if I can remember the second one after we're done with the first. So would it be possible to have a media gateway co-located with a BTS even, and or useful?
It depends on your network architecture. So at the moment, we have the assumption that each BSC has only one media gateway associated with it. So if you have multiple BTSs inside that BSC, it wouldn't really be able to have multiple media gateways, like one per BTS or something. For sure, there is no restriction that the BSS located media gateway has to be on the machine that runs the BSC, right? MGCP is spoken over UDP, so the media gateway could be anywhere else. If let's say you have a couple of BTSs somewhere remotely, where you expect LC local switching to be a thing, but you really only have the BSC in a data center somewhere remote where you put the signaling to, then in fact, yes, you can do it with the current implementation. You just make sure that the media gateway is where your BTSs are, assuming there is, and you remotely control that media gateway from the data center.
Right, but the BSC at the moment only has a single configuration for a single media gateway that it talks to, right? It's not...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, but it if there's a need, it would be possible to add that configuration per BTS instead.
No, not really.
Why?
Because, well... half of the what connects to the media gateway is from the core network, and the BTS changes all the time. And one of the purposes of the media gateway is to make sure that the RTP port is not changing while you're doing handovers between BTSs and so on.
Yes, but so there could still be the BSC co-located media gateway. I'm not saying to that would then
disappear.
You
mean an additional one?
Yes, exactly, additionally.
And hierarchy, yeah. I mean, one can imagine many things, but it for sure makes things much more complicated.
Yes, of course. But there might be some use cases with sort of isolated BTSs where it's worthwhile doing it in order to have the as local as possible switching as often as possible.
Yeah, but I mean, you can still have that by directly configuring the BTSs to talk to each other, which is much less complex.
Exactly, as long as there's no transcoding needed.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, so the second question is about what happens when the local switching is switched off. So, and specifically on the core side of the media gateway, does the core network then say, okay, now here's the new RTP endpoint.
No, they all remain allocated.
Oh, okay.
They remain allocated. You just don't send RTP packets, so all the port numbers, everything remains mapped. And as soon as you switch off LCLS, either of the two sides, as I said, the RAN can switch it off and just notify the core, or the core can instruct. Then they resume using the old port numbers that were negotiated during the assignment and continue.
Okay, and what about the bcasting, bycasting? How does that work? Because that's the third endpoint, right?
On the media gateway point of view, it's actually then three connections on one endpoint.
Yes, okay.
So you'd have, it's basically like a conference bridge, you could think of it. Right, and a conference bridge on an MGW is basically one endpoint that has three or more N connections, or more than two, one would have to implement that on the media gateway. As I said, the spec permits that you simply so for uplink it's easy; you just copy all the packets and send it to two directions. And for downlink, basically, you need to check whether you currently receive RTP from the core, and then if you do so, you drop all the locally received RTP from the other leg. And as soon as you don't receive RTP from the core anymore, then you take the locally switched RTP packets. Or you do the complex stack of really doing the mixing, like a real conference bridge, but that's not required by the spec. That's really just an obscure optional feature. Is there a question? No.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, question here in front.
Two things. For me to test, should I need to put something in the configuration file of the BSC, or it will be enabled by default? And the second is this obscure mixing feature. Let's say with it, would it be possible to do a conference of multi-party users without going to the free switch, let's say, just using the core elements?
So regarding how to enable it, well, on the BSC side, I think it's automatically enabled in a sense that the BSC always advertises LCLS capability to the MSC, and if the MSC then instructs it to do permits it to perform LCLS and all the other conditions match, it should be enabled. The problem is that on Osmo MSC, it's currently not instructed to do so. So if you want to run it on a pure OsmoCom stack without a third-party MSC, the first thing that needs to be done is basically make Osmo MSC generate these global call references, which is, as said, just a unique number we allocate, and then we put it in all the messages. And the second thing is to include this information element that actually permits the BSS to enable LCS, but it's really a static one-byte value that needs to be put in the message. So it's really should be very few hours to add that.
And
The second part, yeah, I ignored that. No, it's not intended to do any kind of conferencing. It's really just for situations where, let's say, while the call is ongoing, you want to play some, oh, your balance is about to be empty and whatnot. And then the question is whether you sort of just mute the other side of the call and instead you play that announcement, or whether you sort of want to do a voice over where the announcement is played with the other end of the call still being audible in the background. And that, I'm not even sure if that's a useful feature. So for conferencing, no, that's not. It doesn't work that way. And as soon as you have multi-party calls, that's a feature of the like really in the core. Probably not even in the MSC, but definitely far in the core. So you won't have local switching in multi-party calls. But we don't implement multi-party calls anyway, which, by the way, multi-party calls are a structured call-related supplementary service, getting back to Vadim when he presented about that. So that's something we would have to add in the MSC.
So I'm not sure if I actually already asked this before, but how exactly are these global references allocated? Because I see like the MSCs have to agree on it, right? So.
No, it's not really agree. I think there is a part that is like one part identifies the MSC, so the MSC has to have a unique identifier, a globally unique identifier, and then that MSC also allocates numbers in that side. So basically, the global call reference consists of one part that identifies the MSC who has allocated that global call reference, and the other part is sort of the incrementing or whatever locally unique number at that MSC.
But I guess that so that means implicitly that all these MSCs must be inside the same same operator because
no.
Otherwise, well, then the operators I guess have to agree to give this unique prefix to all of them, right?
But probably it's the GT of the MSC.
I'm not sure, to be honest. We could just open the spec quickly, but. I think even if you just think about this theoretically without looking at the spec, you could say it's the MCC and the MNC plus some whatever local number for this is your 10th MSC. And then again, you have a globally unique. And this is a problem that you have sort of, or a problem in quotes, that you have in all the telecom networks. So for example, you have the GUMI in LTE, which is the globally unique MME identifier, where also you sort of want to uniquely say, well, any MME anywhere on the planet has to have a unique identifier. So that's sort of, it's assumed that all of these elements have some kind of identifiers. OK, good. Well, thanks.